This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage on Resource Centre and I'm Lim Soon Heng. On this show, I get the privilege of talking with businesswomen, women entrepreneurs and women who have made their way up the corporate ladder. They have their challenges and successes. They have their ways of seeing and experiencing the world of work. They have their stories. My guest today is Jennifer Ong, founder and publisher at World Asia Publishing. The magazine that it produces is Hospitality Asia, a travel publication for the industry, and that's associated with an award called Harper. Now, your magazine is 19 years old.
Yes.
A 19-year-old child is a big child.
Yes, I think in the publishing world, yeah.
As a magazine publisher, you have arrived at a certain stage. What are the challenges now?
I think in business, regardless of how many years you've been in business, there will always be challenges. That's how I perceive it. And the challenges that we have currently is, I would say, is two things. One is within the company. I think the team is very important in this business, especially in the publishing and the awards line, to keep them inspired and motivated, to make sure that they share the same vision and they share the same beliefs. That is a challenge. As you know, labor today and keeping staff is a great challenge. You know, money is not the only thing that will keep them.
What do you do to keep them inspired?
I think by being hands-on in this business, they see the passion that I have, they see the drive that I have, they see the dreams that I want to achieve. And it's not a dream that it's for me alone, but it's a dream for the team, it's a dream for the whole company, for everyone. And everyone is given a guideline as to where would you see yourself in the next 5-10 years. So in order for everyone to achieve where they want to be, it's got to be a team effort.
So in some ways, you have to engage them in so that they see their dreams being fulfilled.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You have to do that. Every one of the team members is different. Everyone has different dreams, right? So I always spend time asking them and chit-chatting during lunch or during work hours to ask, you know, what exactly do you want to achieve? What do you want to see yourself to be? We create a lot of different benefits in different ways to give security to the team. Because for me, you can work for a company for 10 years and then you leave a company in 10 years, what do you get? What do you bring with you? Not just the networking and the contacts and experience. What else do you bring with you? That's what I want to assure my team members, that at whatever age you leave the company or you retire after serving the company for a number of years, there is something for you to take along that you can see, this is my hard work. This is what I have.
So talking about the challenges, you said first one is the internal one. What's the other one?
The external one is, you know, for any brands to be that long in the market, people will always expect more and more from you. Mm. You've done well, okay, the past 10 years, the past 19 years. So what next? We have to keep doing better things. We have to keep the people in the industry interested. And most important in publishing, you need to make sure that people are in need of you because of the type of internet available. Everything goes digital. You know, nobody needs you anymore.
So what do you do?
Because we're in a niche market, a chef or a GM or a F&B can't be carrying an iPad or, you know, along the way and start Googling for things they want. They have a couple of hours a day in the office and they would spend, say, half an hour just reading up a magazine that they need, all the information that comes from it. So the magazine that we produce has information that other media don't produce. You know, who are the new people in the industry? What is this new hotel doing? So it's gathering hospitality information into one book. Versus when you Google, you got to Google so many things to find out, you know, everything and about everybody. So what we do is we say, hey, we're going to give you a quarterly publication. Take your time to read it. It's once in 3 months. And, you know, you get all the information that you need about the industry in this magazine. So we keep to make sure that we keep the quality good. We don't compromise on quality. We don't compromise on content. And for 19 years, we've been giving the magazine complimentary to the industry in Malaysia and Singapore, and we'll continue doing that.
You may be 19 years old. The challenges don't go away.
No, in fact, it's more. It doesn't go away.
Going back a few years ago, the company nearly went into bankruptcy. I'm bringing this question to you simply because I'm interested to find out if people go into business and there are all these challenges and all these problems, and like say, going nearly into bankruptcy, you came back. Why?
Well, we started business in 94, and when I realized that the company was going into reds, it was 6 years after we started. At that time, I was 28, I had a four-year-old son, and, you know, wow, bum, I wake up in the morning, my husband passed away. So what do we do? It was, of course, a lot of questioning to ask, okay, what's next? But I think I didn't dwell too long finding that answer. I knew that there was no choice. It's either I accept my fate as it is, or I said, look, there is a way. There will always be a way.
But one way is also to walk out and then find a job.
Obviously, I mean, yes. Yeah. That's the easiest way out. Easiest way that I would say mostly everyone would do that. I mean, why would you want to fight through a company that is going into bankruptcy and all taking everything on your shoulders and with a four-year-old son, right? But I looked at it and said, look, I'm not going to get to where I would need to get. I need to pay my debts. I can't just run away. Even if I was an employee, how much am I going to make? Am I going to make enough to pay and to look after my son? I'll probably be drained off after 2 years and end up in, I don't know, in a hospital with high blood pressure. So,
I mean, something must have happened also in the sense that you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Or did you not even look? You just went ahead.
You know, I've been asked for many, many years, right? People come up to me and say, Jennifer, what made you go on? What was it that you that could assure you that
you're
I can make it,
yeah,
that I'm going to succeed, right? Yeah. My parents asked me that. My parents said, are you crazy? You're going to do this? You're going to battle it on your own? You think you're going to make it?
And with a four-year-old child.
And with a four-year-old child, obviously, right? And my mom just said, look, why don't you just walk out? Why don't you just get a job? Why don't you just do, you know, the perfectly normal thing that everyone would do? To be honest, I've been looking at it and said, what exactly was it, you know, that kept me going? And I think really there wasn't a particular thing, but it was a feeling of saying, look, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take this risk and I'm going to challenge it. And that was exactly what I told my mom and said, look, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to take this chance, right? If I take this chance and it doesn't work, at least I would say I tried my best. If I take it and it works, then it's for the better. I said, you know, that's the only way because I love the business. I think it was I had a lot of passion for the business. And I didn't see a particular light at the end, but I knew that if I just went ahead, if I just keep searching, if I keep going, there will be an answer. There will be something that would make me
faith.
Yeah.
Faith.
I think so. You know, I mean, really, honestly, something until now, I can't really identify exactly what was it that kept me going. Was it the business? Was it my staff? Was it my son? And I still can't find an answer.
I mean, you didn't sit down and say, okay, let's go through the books and then write down the numbers, what are the projections, and do all the kind of stuff that, you know, people in the MBA program would talk about.
No. I mean, I sat down with my accountants and said, okay, tell me what's happening here. And, you know, it was kind of a situation where he said, look, you've got like 10 different tongs and you've got like 5 covers. Maybe less. So I said, okay, so what do I need to do now? And he says, okay, first you get rid of everything that you don't need. Everything that you don't need for your business. So I said, fine. So I started selling everything. I started selling the cars. I started cutting down. I gave up the house. And I did everything I possibly could to go back to just the basic. Just very, very basic.
How many titles did you have at that point in time?
7? Oh. 8 titles?
And now you're just down to basically one with the awards that's associated with it.
Correct, yes. And it was a time where we needed to do cuts. So I told my accountants, okay, let's take this a step at a time. The first thing to go were my personal assets, where everything that I don't need, cars and houses and whatnot, everything went. I kept the team for 2 months and said, let's try. Let's try and see if we can continue the business with that many titles and that many staff. And after 2 months, I said, it's not going anywhere. So I had to make a very painful call. I spoke to the team and I said, look, I don't have a big ship anymore. I need to change to a smaller ship. And that smaller ship cannot take that many of you. So I will need to let go of some because if not, everyone drowns. So we had like a voluntary resignation and we did whatever we could. And I said, okay, let's skin it down to half and see what happens next. Let's get rid of some of the titles that is taking a lot of deeply into our pockets and go on. So we moved office. We moved to a smaller office and we did that for another maybe 5-6 months. And we realized to say, no, it's still bleeding. The company is still bleeding. So the ship is still too big. So now we might have to go to a sampan or something, you know. So we looked at it again and said, okay, I'm going to keep just 3 titles. And I would have to release the rest. And I had to release more staff. And we were down to a very skeleton team. And with the skeleton team, I sort of gave them options to say, look, this is exactly what's happening. You can choose to stay or you can choose to go. If you choose to go, I have no worries. I mean, no heartaches, you know. If you choose to stay, we need to battle this through. And everyone chose to stay. So we had a team of less than 10, maybe 6, 7 of us. And that was in 2001, you know, 2002. And I said, okay, let's do something. Let's create something for the business. Let's make it happen. So we did a major restructuring. And I looked at it and said, what else can we do apart from publishing? And then that was how the awards thing came about. And I was in Singapore and met some people, looked around the hotel and said, look, I think there are lots of people in the world that needs and deserves recognition, but they are not getting it. So I looked at all the bellboys and looked at all the front office liners and said, you know, why aren't they being recognized, you know? And that was how I decided to say, let's do an awards program to recognize the people who are doing the hard work, who are making the beds, who are cleaning up, who's doing all the housekeeping work, and launch an awards series after the magazine. That was how the Harper Awards got born.
How long did it take you to turn this huge ship, now something smaller, but a successful ship?
A year. Within a year, it was back to black. But I needed to continue servicing all the loans and all the owings, all the debts, but not compromising the current company. I needed to make sure that the current company had enough to sustain and then at the same time have more to pay off whatever loans and debts that we have.
Jennifer Ong, founder and publisher of Hospitality Asia, and the company is World Asia Publishing. Coming up, what are the essential traits to succeed in business? This is Her Vantage on Resource Center, BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to Her Vantage on Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, talking with Jennifer Ong, founder and publisher at World Asia Publishing. How do you measure success?
You know, to some people, success is a journey. It's not a destination. If people ask me, you know, are you successful, Jennifer? Would you term your business as successful? I would say in a way, but I'm still going. I'm still on that journey. I don't think I would say that I'm very successful, but I'm going on that road. I'm going on that way. And I think what is important in today's business is really not about profitability. It's really about sustainability. And if you can profit a year and that's it, you don't sustain at all, that's not successful business. I think today's market, whether it's a restaurant or a hotel or any business for that matter, it's who can last the most, right? I mean, you've got so many challenges. Who can last the longest? And you've got all these challenges, and especially in hospitality, from SARS to tsunami to haze to everything. I mean, to bombing. It doesn't stop. But look how resilient the hospitality industry is. You know, it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. So that's how I reflect my business, you know, is how long can I bring this business? So now we were 10 years and I said, great, we've reached 10. But is that successful yet? No, it hasn't reached there. So let's do another 10. And now we're coming to another 10. So now when I reach 19 or 20, the next thing is, how do we reach 30? So that's how I would look at in terms of that journey of success.
Well, you plan by the decades.
Yes.
That seems to me a very long time.
It is. But I think it's something that I believe if you plan that long, then you have faith and you have beliefs and you have vision and dreams to make that happen. So it's not short-term plan. It's not short-term dreams. It's long-term. And it's also something that would keep my energy going and my drive going. And say, look, you know, you've got 8 more years and 7 more years and 6 more years and so on, you know, till I get to 9 like now, and I have 1 more year to
go. So what does it take to be successful? You say you are not necessarily there, but you're on that journey. You are on that path. You're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
What does it take to stay on that path and to be sustainable?
One most important thing in any business owners is to have a positive mindset. That's something I teach all my team members. I teach my kids. I teach my mom. I teach my maid. I teach everybody is to have a positive mindset.
What the hell is that?
I mean, you got to look at things positively, right? I mean, I was just summing up, you know, my life story. I said, okay, I left home when I was 18. I got married at 23. And then 24, I had a child. 28, I was a widow. I married again and that company went almost bankrupt at 29. And restructured the business, then I remarried 32, got divorced. I had a second child, third child, and then my dad passed away in between. And then I had a divorce at the age of 38. So a lot of people will look at me and go like, oh my God, you know, she's been through a major tsunami and thunderstorm, and why do you still smile? How do you still keep your spirit so high? And I said, positive. Just look at things positively. Because if you dwell on it and you look at everything as a disaster, as a reason, and always searching for a reason why this, why that, then you always stay depressed and you always stay where you are, stagnant, right? But if you look at things positively and said, okay, fine, there is a reason to it, there's a reason to it, looking at it, it's a blessing. If this didn't happen, this wouldn't happen and that wouldn't happen. And I tell my team, I said, look, if I hadn't gone through what I went through, then I wouldn't know you guys now. Then I wouldn't have you in the team. Same as my kids. I look at my kids and said, well, yeah, it's a blessing. I mean, I look at them and say they're wonderful children. To possess a positive mindset is to always think positively.
Do you get up in the morning and say, you know, all these gurus talk about, you know, get in front of the mirror and say, today I will be positive. And then you say, you know, I like my face. I like whatever. Is that what you do?
No. I mean, I think it's something internal. I can't really explain it. It's not something that was taught to me. I think it's something that you really need to build it in yourself. And you need to ask yourself and say, okay, what do I want to do with my life now? You know, where do I want to go? It is something that you need to plant it in yourself, right? And say, look, this is what I'm going to be. This is how positive I'm going to be. Everything has a positive side to it. A coin has two sides. So when something happens bad on one side, there is something good on the other side. I truly believe that. So I think it's a belief that you need to inculcate in yourself, and it has to become a second nature. You know, it's not something you practice. It's not through yoga or meditation. It's just a second nature that you possess, and you then pass it on to your children or anyone else.
Were you born with it?
I don't know. I'm going to ask my mom.
You talk about a coin. It has two sides. I love the analogy. But I'm going to bring another analogy. Okay. You describe yourself as like Tongkat Ali. You know, people think about Tongkat Ali as something associated with male potency. Why did you think of yourself that way?
You know, when I looked at the questions and I said, okay, I could answer every single question except that particular question, right? What are you? So am I a plant? Am I an animal? What can I associate myself with? So I asked some friends and asked my cousin, and they came with, you know, you're like a tree. You're like a tree in the Amazon. You're like a tiger. You're like a bamboo stick or whatever. And all things came to mind and said, you know, how am I going to describe myself? So I was in Gaya, Pulau Gaya, for a short break, an assignment. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. And they said, oh, we have yoga, we have meditation. I said, okay, let's go for it. So the meditation guru that day did, you know, and then she had this really nice plant on the table. So I asked her, what is that plant? And she showed it to me and said, oh, this is something that I wanted to share with you. It's a plant that I just sort of took off from when I was doing my walks. And she said, it's a very amazing plant because it's very resilient. It's got great tenacity. It's got great strength. And you could do this. So she took one part of the leaf out and she folded it and said, look, she tried to sort of break it. It couldn't break. And she opened up and said, see, it's there. It's still the same. And when you put it in your mouth, it is bitter. So my cousin sister was with me and she looked at me and said, Jennifer, I think you found your answer. That's the plant. That's you. So we burst out laughing, right? The guru asked us, what is it? And I explained to her and I said, what is the name of this plant? And she said, you know, I really don't know, but I could find out, you know, we could check.
She's not from here.
No, she's from California, right? She believes in that plant. She said, I take it every day. I would chew on it and then spit out. It's very good for you. And then she said, you know what? I don't know the name of it, but I know one thing. It's supposed to help the men to stay strong. And then we laughed and said, it didn't strike me. It didn't strike me that it was a Tongkat Ali, right? So I said, okay, let's go find out. So we left the spa, went out, and we asked the spa manager. And she explained, she said, you know that plant that's along the way and it's this color and we take it and the lady said, oh, I really don't know. So we showed her the leaves and she said, I've not seen it before. I really don't know. When the guru said, but there's one thing special about the plant. It's supposed to be a natural Viagra or something like that. And she said it's good for the men. And then the spa manager said, oh, it's Tongkat Ali. And I said, oh my God, I'm a Tongkat Ali. So I was talking to my cousin and said, you know, well, she said the plant is strong. It can take so many types. You know, I mean, you could twist it and turn it. It doesn't break. When you taste it, it's bitter. But it is helpful because it gives strength to the men. So I said, okay, so I've been through that many storms and I'm still alive. And bitterness comes from my life, that I've had a lot of bitterness in my life. But at the end, I still come up strong. I give strength to people, not necessarily men, but I give strength to people. So, I said, okay, maybe that's my answer, you know. So that's how I sum it.
Who are your role models for success?
Many years ago, I've always looked at Oprah Winfrey. Mm. I've always looked at her. She's such a strong woman. She does so much for the community. She does so much for other women. And I've always dreamed and said, you know, how I wish one day I could be in her show, or how I wish one day I could publish, I could be part of her magazine, or how I wish one day I could be the Oprah Winfrey and do a show, right? Mm. And I've always seen her as a very strong woman and very capable and very helpful. And when we started HAPA, that was what I wanted to do 12 years ago. I said, I'm going to use the HAPA program to do a lot of CSR, as much CSR as we can, to help the children, to help anyone in need, you know, whether they're handicapped children, to abused children, or children with cancer. My dad went through cancer, so I know how that...
The money that's raised through HAPA.
Yes, correct, yeah. So I wanted to do... It may not be a lot of money. We want to be part of a program that our team, the entire HAPA team, can be part of the program to do whatever we can for the kids. So she has been, you know, sort of a person that I've always looked upon. And along the way, a friend of mine, when I was invited for a talk, it was a talk in Singapore for a group of women. And these women were widows and divorcees and cancer survivors and so on. And I went there to do a talk and I've never done talks before.
And all of them have tasted the bitterness of Tongkat
Ali. Exactly. Right. And I said, okay, so how am I going to share my story? And I had a friend who said, look, you should watch this video, Nick. And I always forget his surname, right? This guy was born without limbs.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I watched this video. I spent a lot of time looking through. I was amazed. I was really amazed. And I was really taken into it. And I showed my kids this video and said, look, if this man could do it, you know, why can't you? You know, his very strong message to everyone is always never give up, never give up. So that's exactly what that stays in me. Oprah gives me this vision of wanting to help people and wanting to be there for a lot of women, especially for children. Nick gives me this forever memory of saying never give up. In whatever happens, never give up. So this too is sort of very strong, etched into my mind.
Yeah. So you mentioned two very important things: a positive approach to life and this never give up.
Yeah, and I think you need to walk the talk. I think a lot of bosses need to walk the talk, in the sense that you need to do what you want your team to do. You need to be part of it. You need to be doing things with them. You need to show your passion, because you cannot say, I want to see your drive, I want to see your passion, I want to see your commitment, but you're not even committed. And how do you expect your team to be committed? So I think walking the talk is very important. The will to survive the storms, you know, can be seen and felt by your team. And if you are there to fight it, then they will follow through. They will follow you, you know.
Jennifer Ong, founder and publisher at World Asia Publishing, which owns the magazine called Hospitality Asia and the awards called HAPA. This is Her Vantage on Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.